I would like to look at these little booklets with you. Yeah? And I'm going to skip a lesson. I like to go to the one that says a merry heart. A merry heart. Some of you don't have my booklet, right? And I left them all in my room, so I'll give you one later. You can follow along whether you have the booklet or not. I heard the story. I think Brother Edwin told me this story years ago. A man, he wanted to find joy. He wanted to find the secret of a merry heart, of real happiness. And so he heard that there was a very wise man up on the mountain. So he climbed the mountain and he came before this guru. And he said, "Oh, wise man, can you tell me the secret of true happiness?" And so he chanted a little bit. And then he said, "Oh, my son, go back to the village and ask, who is the happiest man that you know? Who is the happiest man in the world? And find him and wear his shirt, and you too will have true happiness." "Oh, thank you." So he went down from the mountain and he went to the village and he began to ask people, "Who's the happiest man you know?" Everybody pointed in the same direction. This man was just known for being the happiest person they ever met in their life, and he's always that way. Where? Over there, outside the village, there's a farmland. And so, "Thank you, thank you." So he's running to the farm to find the happiest man and to wear his shirt. And as he gets closer, he sees a man in the distance, and he hears singing like he never heard before. So happy, so joyful, and his heart begins to pound. The story gets better as I go on. And he gets closer, and he gets closer, and the singing's louder. And when he gets close enough that he gets a good sight of the man, he has to stop. And he realizes that man is so poor, he doesn't own a shirt. How can I wear the shirt of the happiest man in the world when he's so poor he doesn't own one? Happiness doesn't depend upon whether you own a shirt or not. It doesn't necessarily depend upon the outward circumstances. It's something that comes from the inside. We call it joy. The joy of the Lord. You can be the poorest person in the world and have the joy of the Lord as your strength. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. A merry heart. Rejoice in the Lord always, the Apostle Paul told us. And again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Not in your circumstances, not in yourself, not in your accomplishments. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You know, we have a happy God. We have a happy God. You ever see some of these images of the gods that the Canaanites worshipped, and how evil they look and angry they look and grotesque? You go throughout the world and you find people that worship these different gods and their idols, and they don't look happy. They're frightening. And they're always trying to appease their gods, always trying to keep their gods from punishing them. But oh, the image that we see, the picture we see of our God, is we have a God that's a happy God, a joyful God. Praise God. The Bible tells us that God rejoices over us with singing. You read that in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. What does it say there? Let's find it. Okay, anybody know where Zephaniah is? And is it still in the same place that I saw it last time? Let's see. Okay, I got it. 3:17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. And then it goes on to say, he will joy over thee with singing. Do you ever think about God like that? God loves us so much, and he takes such delight in us that he rejoices over us with joy, and he joys over us with singing. Praise God. In Matthew chapter 11, it tells us that when Jesus saw that the common people were opening their hearts to the gospel, that he rejoiced in spirit. Praise God. I wonder how he expressed that joy. But there was a joy that came into his life as he saw the gospel being received, not by the wise and the prudent, but by the babes. Matthew 11:25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. And then you can't not read these next few verses. Come unto me, O ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus had such joy in having people come to him, such joy in seeing the Holy Spirit reveal truth and light to people. And he sends that invitation to everyone. Come to me. I will give you rest. And then in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 9, it tells us there, speaking of Jesus, that he had the oil of joy above his brethren, which means that he was more joyful than his peers, those that he associated with. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with joy, with the oil of gladness, above thy fellows. Let me go back a little bit, verse 8. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. I was talking to some Jehovah Witness the other day, and I told them, they were inviting me to one of their conferences, and they're very kindly extending an invitation to me. And I said, I thank you. That's very kind of you, but I won't be attending. Oh, why not? Well, because I'm a Christian. As a matter of fact, I'm the pastor of this church right here. Along the fundamentals, we're not in agreement. Well, what do you mean? My Bible is just like yours. What's the difference? Well, I said, you're the only one that has a New World Translation. Of all the Hebrew and Greek scholars that ever lived, why is it that you're the only ones that came up with this particular translation and all the others are no good? And then I said, our main point of contention is that I believe that Jesus Christ is God. You don't. You believe he's a Messiah. You believe a lot of things about him, but you don't believe that he's divine. You don't believe that he's God come in the flesh. And that is essential. And here's a verse. But unto the Son, he says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. People say, where in the Bible does it say Jesus is God? Well, that's one verse. God talking to the Son addresses him as God. And then, of course, there are other verses that if we took the time, we could find. And, of course, when Jesus speaks about his perfect union with the Father, Jesus received worship. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. But when people came to worship Jesus, Jesus received it because he is God and was worthy of the worship that they gave him. And so there are many portions like that. But it says that he loved righteousness and hated iniquity. And because of that, God poured out the oil of joy upon him above everyone else. And so when we try to picture Jesus here when he was walking on earth, evidently he was a joyful man. He was a happy person. We often say, children like to be around him. And we read how they sat on his lap and gathered round him, shouted Hosanna as he came into Jerusalem. there is a joy about Jesus. And it was contagious, I think. The Bible tells us a number of things about joy. Maybe some of us can read some of these verses, okay? Here am I, send me. Oh, well, I could call on you. Well, let's see. Who would like to volunteer? Does anybody want to read a verse from Proverbs? Okay, thank you. Brother Ben, could you read the first one? Proverbs 15:13. And then I'm going to keep you there so you can read 15:15. Oh, let you read all of them, right? They're all in Proverbs. Okay, and we'll save time that way. Praise God. So what does the Bible say about a merry heart?
A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken.
Okay, a cheerful countenance. If your heart is merry, your face should find out about it somewhere along the way. A cheerful countenance. Do you have a cheerful countenance? Do you have the joy of the Lord in your heart and it shows on your face? Well, we ought to ask the Lord to get it there. Okay, Ben, the next one, please. 15:15.
All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast.
Okay. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that has a merry heart has a continual feast. Praise God. I know the Italians like to feast, but this is a different type of feast. This is feasting with my Lord upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that God is always feeding my soul and supplying all my need according to his riches and glory. I have a continual feast. I'm enjoying fellowship with him all the time. He that has a merry heart has a continual feast. And 17:22, please.
A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones.
Amen. You know, that merry heart, that attitude of rejoicing in the Lord has an effect upon our bodies as well. It does us good like a medicine. And, you know, half the battle is your attitude sometimes when you're dealing with these physical afflictions. Oh, but we can rejoice in the Lord. We're under his care. He's our healer. And we can believe his report. He bore our sicknesses and carried our pains. And you know, when you just keep rejoicing in the Lord and you meditate upon the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God, it has a healthy effect upon your body and your soul. Right? So many people are troubled in their minds in these days. We talk about all the anxiety that people are dealing with. But if we would learn to rejoice in the Lord, if we would consider reasons why we have to be joyful in our God, we'd be feasting, we'd feel good in our bodies and in our souls, and we'd have a happy or cheerful countenance. The Bible talks about when you're filled with the Spirit, that it produces joy in you. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves or among yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's in Ephesians chapter 5. This is fruit of Spirit-filled life. This is evidence of a Spirit-filled life. When God fills you with his Spirit, he fills you with joy. He fills you with singing. He fills you with rejoicing. Oh, and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And so, you know, some people have more of a happy disposition. I think I might be like that a little bit. And other people, it's harder for them. They just kind of tend to look at the dark side of things and things affect them a little bit more negatively than some others. But we can all, no matter what our disposition is, we can come to Jesus and say, Lord, I need a merry heart. Lord, I want to be a light in this world. I don't want to contribute to the darkness. I want to cause the light of Jesus to shine in my life. I want people to see when they look at me that there's a reason to love and to serve the Lord. It's like the farmer that he looked at his donkey who looked so sad. And he said, I know. I got religion too. I know exactly how you feel. Well, that's the idea some people have of religion. You got to be sad. You got to be somber. But there's a time. There's a time to repent. There's a time to be very serious and quiet. But, oh, God wants to teach us how to rejoice and joy in the God of our salvation. Reasons to rejoice here. The prodigal's elder brother. Now, he doesn't seem to be an example of rejoicing. Remember the prodigal son? He left his father's home and he went to a far country and he wasted all his living, ended up eating with the pigs, and then decided to go back home to his father. He said, even if he hires me as a servant, I'll be better off than I am now. The elder brother, he stayed home and he was very dutifully worked for his dad and didn't give him any trouble. And when the younger brother came home, the father was so happy to see him, he ran out to greet him, he hugged him, he kissed him, he put the ring back on his finger, his robe, his sandals. He just received him back as his son. And he said, he was dead, but he's alive again. He was lost, and now he's found, and we have to rejoice. And so he threw a banquet for him. And they were just rejoicing that the son, that they didn't know where he was and what had happened to him, that God brought him home safe and sound and restored him into fellowship. But the older brother, he heard what was going on in the house, and he inquired and found out that your father had killed the fatted calf and received your brother home, and they're rejoicing. And he didn't want to go in there and rejoice with them. And so the father was looking for his older son, and he went out and found him. And he said, son, what are you doing out here? The older brother was in the field, verse 25. This is Luke 15, 25. He came and drew nigh to the house and heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. He said, thy brother has come, thy father hath killed the fatted calf because he received him safe and sound. He was angry and would not go in. Therefore the father came out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years I serve thee, never transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gave me a kid, that means a goat, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me. That's reason to rejoice. And all that I have is thine. That's reason to rejoice. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. He said, son, you're always with me. You can have my presence with you all the time. And everything I have is yours. When we think of the Lord Jesus, we think that we're never alone. He's always with us. And everything that we need, everything that he purchased for us. And so there's reason to rejoice. And then here are other reasons to rejoice. It speaks about, we don't have time to read all the verses, but I encourage you to do so. It talks about, let all those that seek the Lord rejoice, and let them shout for joy. He hears our prayers. He's ever with us. He brings deliverance. And so I'd encourage you, take time to read some of those verses, the Psalms and Nehemiah, joy of the Lord is our strength, and so on. I'd like to read one thing to you before we go. And I got hold of a book that interested me. It had something to do with the Zion Faith Homes. And it talks about a joyful or merry countenance. This was written by a man named Rex Andrews, who was a minister there in the Faith Homes. He wrote the song, when Jesus sought me and found me, I was way down deep in sin. He's the best friend that I have ever known. He's talking about visiting some of the missionaries, and just listen to this for a moment. It says, we got over to Bethesda about 5:30, just before dusk. The missionaries came out to meet us, smiling big, broad smiles that made you feel glad that you were alive and had gotten where they, the smiles, are. It's a wonderful and blessed thing to smile. I heard someone say, Jesus, the man of sorrows, never smiled. The truth is that no one ever smiled like Jesus. The Old Testament speaks much of the Lord, who is our joy and song, who puts laughter in our mouths, who was worshipped with songs of joy and with dances of joy. He promised joy. One of the first manifestations of joy is smiling eyes and a smiling countenance. The New Testament is full of rejoicing in God, both on earth and among angels. Jesus looked up to heaven, rejoicing in spirit, and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast revealed these things unto babes. He brought joy everywhere he went. Joyful release from sin, sickness, troubles, disease, devils. Joy swirled around him like leaves in a wind. Children shouted for joy in the temple. No one ever smiled like Jesus. Maybe he would give you part of his sweet smile too, if you would forget your self-important ideas and feast with the lowly one in his overflowing love. Paul said, rejoice always, and I will say it over again, rejoice. People are not spiritual because they hold their face like a mask and don't relax its muscles into smiles. Why, the Old Testament calls for the light of thy countenance. What is the light of the countenance but smiling? Radiant, smiling eyes with the features arranging themselves accordingly. Smiling and rejoicing are taken for granted in the Bible as the accompaniment of a happy, joyful heart. A joyful heart is the direct result of cleansing and victory over sin. The most inward person I ever knew had one of the most radiant smiles I ever saw. She could smile through sorrow. It was still there through heartbreak. She knew what it was to have a broken heart, but she could still smile. She taught us to have a glory heart. She could teach it because she had it. She had a glory heart because she had a lowly, mercying heart, which is abiding in Jesus. That was the founder of the Faith Home work. She had a most charming laughter. Inwardness made her smile, because inwardness is finding God and knowing Jesus. Smile, folks, smile. Interesting thought. I try to do that when I'm at school with the kids. I see them come out of the hall, down the hall. I smile. And I make them feel like they're important and that I'm happy to see them. And I always get a smile back. I see their face light up and they brighten up. And I trust it's more than just my smile, but I pray, Lord, put your touch upon me and your anointing. And as I greet these kids, let the smile of Jesus, let the love of Jesus be expressed to them. And, you know, there's so much sadness in the world and there's so much unkindness and harshness. And that's a society that we're growing up in. It's fashionable to be mean and unkind and rude sometimes, sticking up for yourself and so on. But, oh, Jesus, when he was here on earth, oh, he was full of joy, and he brought joy wherever he went. He had a merry heart, and I'm sure that it was expressed upon his countenance. And so ask the Lord to help you to have the joy of the Lord, and then let the joy of God be expressed in my smile, in my words, in my song, in the kindness that I show toward others. Praise God. And there's no telling what God will do and who he'll send you to and how you'll lift those that are heavy-hearted and broken-hearted. And so I never read anything about Jesus smiling before, and I don't know how you feel about that. Maybe you're wondering. But I could picture him doing that. No one, it's not that Jesus never smiled, it's no one ever smiled like Jesus. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. And so let's practice while we're at camp. You know, now if I was another minister in another church, I'd say, now turn to your neighbor and smile. But I'm not going to do that because I don't do that. But as you go through the week, And you greet people as you're coming down the hall or wherever. Smile. And I guarantee you'll get a smile back. Praise God. Hallelujah. And it'll just make Pilgrim Camp a happy place. Hallelujah. More so than ever, if it's possible. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. There is joy, joy, joy in serving Jesus. Joy that throbs within my heart. Every moment, every hour, as I draw upon His power, there is joy, joy, joy that never shall depart. Oh Lord, we pray that the joy of the Lord, that fruit of the Spirit, will be perfected in our life in a greater measure. We pray, Lord, that you'll show us that we have reason to rejoice in the Lord always. And as we read these verses and consider reasons to rejoice, Lord, then we pray you'll help us to do it. And Lord, let it show. Let it show. Don't let us keep it to ourselves, Lord, but let it overflow to someone who needs it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Now we have staff meetings, so if you're not on staff, we kindly ask you to go back to your rooms or visit outside, but we need this room. Okay.